We could also just like take a break when the pizza comes or and come back.
I'm already recording.
Yeah,
so.
I know. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So, hello and welcome to Only Mr. God Knows, episode 3 of 2024. And as we say every time on this podcast, don't watch the Eurovision. Hi, it's your Eurovision analysis podcast.
That is.
It's
amazing.
It's a fun square to circle. Yeah, so today we've got members of the council to give their opinions.
Members of the council.
Yeah. I am your guide through Eurovision world. But we've got the house team. We've got the house robots. We've got the did anyone else watch Robot Wars? It was a very like a UK Ireland thing, I think. So like
no.
Yeah, the house robots.
I'm too young.
Yeah, that's fair. You just say that to anything. When
yeah,
I bring
literally. Like, every time I don't know what you guys are talking about, I'm just like, I'm too young.
I could be talking about like the new like Disney Plus Shogunate show or whatever. You're just like, I'm too young. I'm not watching that.
No, I actually want to watch
that. Yeah, fair enough.
I'm too old.
Damn, I can't win with you. So we've got Nick and Uma, two of the members of the house team, which is to say people who will be on stage on Eurovision, mm-hmm. to give their opinions this year of the Eurovision songs. Nick is leaving the room, so I'm going to turn to him first.
Hello, Kieran.
Hello.
Hi. I haven't left the room.
You have not left the room. Maybe just...
Oh, yeah, the beers. The beers.
He's
Zola.
Getting the beers.
Zola, Zola.
That makes so much sense.
Marcus and Martinez, what a horrible...
People do that with twins, though.
But yeah, it should be illegal. Sorry. But
it's super common in... really common thing in Australia, actually. Not with twins, but for all your siblings to have names that begin with the same letter.
Like Kim, Khloe,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
The Kardashians.
Or of the, you know, the famous Australian kids show that everyone was watching, Bluey, where the kid's called Bluey and the sister is called Bingo. I know a family of, like, Josie, Josh, Jenny... Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you about that.
I think it's kind of cute. I think it's like weird when it's twins. Maybe that's a little too close.
Jimmy and Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have Marcus and Martinez this year from Sweden. The all dancing act from Norway. The Norwegians, they can dance now due to the oil money. So they've taken time to dance.
So what's your how do you want to then address the council? What are you bringing to us
for
judgment today?
Well, for the evening of Eurovision, I will need your top 10, but we don't need that today. We just need the songs that you have been vibing with from the selection.
Okay,
that's very fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gave also, well, at the beginning, I watched all of them today.
Good job.
All right. Which then I didn't completely watch all of them, but I got a general idea. The top half of the alphabet I watched and I gave little notes.
Mm.
Some that I do want to address, others, if they just
take
said boring or have nothing in the case of Belgium, we can skip them. So,
poor Musty.
We'll
go back and forth. We can go
back and forth. Maybe like
what do you want to bring up first, Nick?
I'm going first.
Yeah.
All right, since we're going alphabetical order, I'm going to go with the one that then impressed me immediately, which is not Albania. Albania, no. I wrote 5, boring. Armenia, though, got a 9 on my list. Because Armenia kept it very traditional, but they did this thing that it reminded me a lot of like, okay... A lot of the rhythmic patterns are pretty common in, of course, Armenian like folk music.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't know if it is actually polyrhythmic, but there is like a hi-hat going at a slightly different tempo than you would imagine than it going with the rest of the beat. And it makes it sound like a really metal breakdown, which rips. And it's actually kind of common too, because there's a Armenian jazz pianist, I think he is. I forget his name, but he like... has kind of like composed a lot of his stuff in mind of as well of two of like metal music as well, like with his piano compositions also like mimicking these like rhythm patterns because they like also appear in Armenian music. So it's this kind of like full circle thing of it. And that, I thought that was really cool. And, but I think that then that because it is so traditional that it's not going to like go like do very well in the actual competition.
Yeah, okay. So this is Jacko, I think, is the name of the group. I've forgotten the name of the song. But it is good. I really like it. It's, I don't know where it ranks for me yet. How did you feel about Armenia?
I liked it. I whenever a song in Eurovision is, first of all, in the native language of the country, and then it includes native like songs or folk music or
homages, like hinting, yeah,
that is already like, even if I don't like the song itself, that is already like very positive in my eyes,
because yeah, you're getting like an extra point or two.
Yeah, like, yeah, like even if I actually hate the song, I'm like, no, but like, you know, you have points because you actually did something different, and you did something that is representing your country, because you are representing your country in this freaking, you know, thing, event, whatever, a competition. And it's not just, you know, a pop song in English, so everybody can listen to it. But I actually did like the song as well. Is it the one with like the flute?
Yep.
So,
yeah, exactly.
I love that. Yeah.
I like that it was also like very, it seemed a lot faster than a lot of the other entries.
There's like there's a rush about it. There's like there's a real get up and go kind of like,
like we're happy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
happy,
but there's like a kind of like a musical equivalent of like that feeling you get when you run so fast you almost fall over yourself, is kind of like the
it's like stumbling over itself with
the rhythm. I really like that. It's set to do decent. Like, it's going to qualify. I think it's definitely going to qualify. It's coming out of the semis. But like, I don't know where it's going to rank.
Yeah, I mean, I put Armenia again, like, because we're watching it in a weird format to where then, if this one was probably put up live, I probably would have like ranked it lower. Not like in the sense I would have been like, oh, this is bad. But I mean, I think that then like
the music video is very fun.
Video is very fun. So I was like, I was entranced with that and with the rhythms and whatnot. Yeah. It was a very fun. It was like, it was nice coming off the back of Albania, which was just like a very boring pop song. Yeah. And then immediately being hit alphabetically with like, oh, this is like at least like something that then is a breath of fresh air for then, like, you know, I wish it would have come later, I guess, in the list, because I'm gonna be watching like eight shit just like generic like, you know, either like Bruno Mars ass sounding songs or like Who Wants to Be, you know, Dua Lipa 100 times over. But
we gotta make more Dua Lipas. We need to close the Dua Lipa gap that's developing between all other nations and Albania. They have one Dua Lipa, we have zero. What's the first song you want to bring up? What's one of the notable songs you
I
have?
I think that's the first, no, it's not the first song I heard of Eurovision, but I was pleasantly surprised. I know the song because I have the Spotify playlist, but I don't know the country.
Yeah.
The one Rim Tim Taggy Dim by Baby Lasagna.
Croatia.
I really liked it. It's really fun. Yeah. Again, it's in their language and it's like got, you know,
a lot of it's in English.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I wasn't listening. Like, I just like the vibe.
The whole song is about emigration.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no going back.
So stupid.
It's the whole like, I want to become one of those city boys. They're so fancy. They're so advanced. Maybe they too also know our dance.
Okay, well, that's fun. I don't know. Sometimes
it's a lot of
sometimes
fun.
Sometimes English just doesn't sound like
English to you. Yeah,
like English, especially if like the other person also has an accent. That
remind me of a story that my sister had when she was like at a bar with a bunch of other like English. English teachers in Spain, but like all of them were not like, they were capable of teaching English, but like they were
Spanish. Yeah. Oh, it's the worst. Yeah,
I know. But like they were all in the bar. They were all very competent. And like my sister would never say like a bad word against any of them in terms of their ability to teach English. But Red Hot Chili Peppers came on and they were just like, what the fuck is giveaway now or whatever it was? Like, what the fuck are they saying? And she was like, they all know all of those words individually, but they just did not register it as those words when it's chanted several times by
Matt. Give it away.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like...
I mean, to be very fair, like a European hearing Red Hot Chili Peppers the first time being...
You don't understand shit.
Yeah. California. Feeling okay.
It's like a psychic attack of California lodged at your brain.
Honestly, having English as your second language is just basically like, you know when you stare at a word for too long?
It loses all meaning.
And it's just like, I know it's, I wrote it well.
Yeah.
But... what is this? And it's maybe just like the most normal word, like hospital or whatever. And you're just like...
the word that's
word
basically
doesn't make sense. It means nothing. You're just like, huh, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's like you're permanently just consuming the ketchup song that has no air. Yeah. It has no lyrics.
Hell yeah, great song. Yeah, Croatia is wonderful. I love Baby Lasagna. He's a whole like fairy tale story as well because like he was put on. He wasn't selected for the national final. He was put on the shortlist, and then like someone dropped out.
Oh, so you've
crazy.
You've made
that's how you get into university.
So for Eurovision, then have made a 3-minute long short documentary about Baby Lasagna's life to the tune of Fort Minor's. Remember the name, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't give me more work to do. But the no, because it's great because like, it caused a scandal within like Croatia because he won.
So you're ruining the documentary.
I'm sorry. No, he won. He fucking won with like more points than like all of the other acts combined, and everyone was just so pissed off and like, why wasn't he immediately on the list?
Yeah,
this song slaps. We love it. And if there's like reaction, like. Easiest I don't understand any country that doesn't put effort into their like national selection process. Like Croatia has like no fucking money, and like they managed to do such a good job because like one of the easiest bits of content they made for it was they just got like we got like 10 pensioners, 5 women and 5 guys to react to all the songs. And like the reactions, I've seen it subtitled, the reactions of old people listening to Rim Tim Taggy Dim is just like a lot of old people's going like, ah, yeah, this is a fun song. Yeah, it represents Croatia well. There's really nothing in this country for young people, is there? There's like, they all have to leave. Because like he lives in, I think he lives full-time in Austria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Strange.
His girlfriend made the music video as well. The whole thing's been like a shoestring budget for him.
That whips. I also had Baby Lasagna gave Baby Lasagna a 10.
Hell yeah.
A 10 out of 10. There are, unlike Anthony Fantano, I have given a lot of 10s here. I have 3 10s listed.
Croatia.
What's your other 10?
Croatia is, hang on, just to say, like, Croatia is one of
the favesies.
One of 4 that could possibly win this year.
Yeah. I'd seen Croatia's video a while ago, so I was already like, this rips, on board. It was fun, and it's also like a fun, like heavier pop weird song, but it does the thing that then I think that I don't know if we're going to talk about them or not, if this is on your favesies or not, but like what you guys like the Netherlands. Yep. One, yep. The like kind of other weird poppy one, and that one, I don't know, I didn't find it nearly as fun as this one.
Have you listened to the full song?
Yeah, I have.
Okay,
it like
the Netherlands is Europa,
the Europa. Yeah. Pop,
oh,
yeah,
fucking
like,
love it. Sorry, like, yeah, I think like,
yeah, yeah,
it's
like I get it, like, I get,
top 5.
I can completely understand that then why, that would like why people like that one. I just think that then it's like. I don't know. If I'm going to be seeing so many of these types of songs, which one would I rather have? And I would much rather have the Baby Lasagna one.
What is it called? Gabber?
Yeah, Gabber.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's
know.
So
no,
fun.
Nick is kind of right, though, because one of the things that's happened this year is the guy who came second last year, Finland, Karja.
Oh, yeah, they tried to copy
Everyone's
that,
trying to do their weird version of this.
Well, kind of, but, like, he's gone around and given his blessing to 3 different acts. He's going around acting like a Eurovision godfather at the moment, which is, like, kind of sick. And it's Croatia, Netherlands, and Finland. That he's given like the like blessing to basically.
Yeah, and I mean
Finland are also trying to be like him, no? They're the weird ones.
Yeah, they're Windows 95 man.
They have a history of that. Yeah. Like I mean I don't know, because
I don't mean the acts themselves are trying to be like him, because like obviously these people have been doing music for a long time.
I get what you're saying, like it's going to appeal to the same demographic.
Yeah.
And that is like a problem with both Uyra Papa and Rim Tin Taggy Dim, is that they're going to split that. They're both like televote getters, and they're going to split that probably. Which is why people, like, that's where the other two contenders come from.
Yeah, and I think that in the sense of all of them, I can guarantee the one that's going to do the worst live would be of the three of them is Finland, Windows 95 Man. Because even the performance on the recording when you hear it, his, like, vocals are weak as shit. So it's
more about the spectacle.
It's the spectacle, which is not going to be done. Well. Yeah, but it's not going to be done well. Five people or whatever, you know?
I think the problem with Finland staging is, because the whole thing of him like coming out with no pants on and then eventually he gets pants on and like they control the camera so that you can't like ever see his dick. Like he's wearing like fake skin pants or whatever, but still. All of that is like will work on the TV at home, but it's not going to work for anyone in the room, and that might make the vibe kind of sour. Like people aren't going to be as hyped for it as something that would also work in the room, because that's happened before. Like I went to Eurovision Live, and a lot of Eurovision acts are really big fans of having like the camera spin around them while they're singing. You see that all the time with live staging. Sucks to see that on a stage. That just like sucks so bad. That works so well on TV, and then like when you're in the stage, it's just like random cameraman running around, like a person singing to meet them, and it's just like, yeah, that was definitely better on TV than it was here. Like,
the magic of TV doesn't translate to the actual set.
Yeah, and also I think like with the Netherlands, and I think this will also happen with Spain as well. So, an influence I would like to see more was Serbia in 2022 when they did Incorpore Sano, still like one of my favorite songs of recent years, about like how musicians don't get like healthcare, and she's like, the song is like artists must be healthy and stuff like that, and she has that great line all in Serbian, which is like like where the entire chorus just goes God give us health, like the like quote, and then she just turns the camera and is like, because I don't have insurance. It's really good line, and they did the right thing on the night, which was they superimposed, because they can do this, you can put special effects on the camera, they superimposed subtitles because it's all in Serbian, they superimposed English subtitles for that one line because they're like, yeah, people need to understand this bit. I do hope that both Netherlands and Spain do something similar, because I think the thing that's carrying both of those songs and why I love
is the meaning of it.
Yeah, is what's going on with the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been, when I first heard Spain's song, obviously I understand it all, and I think it's really good, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
And then I was curious to see what, like, Eurovision YouTubers or whatever think about it.
Yeah.
And it just, like, everything flew over everybody's head. They were just like, oh yeah, it's a catchy song, but, like, and obviously they tried to translate it and just says slut, and they're like...
Yeah, I would love for them to subtitle every line but Zora.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would really work, because then you would have everyone, like, click throughout hearing the song of, like, they'll guess by context what it means, basically.
The thing is, many of the lyrics in that song, if you translate them directly, it makes no sense. Like, it's one of those cases that you have to find, approximate translation.
You need an artful translation, yeah.
Yeah, because there's certain... I was listening to it coming here, and I was like, yeah, this, how would you explain this to like an English speaking person? Because
do they make references in the lyrics to throwing the glass? Because that's something she does in the music video.
No.
Cause like, I know there's like, I saw someone do like a collage of the song with this clip from like, I want to say late 70s post-Franco, like a variety magazine show where like an older female performer is making this exact point, and the kind of like line that she comes to is just like, it's basically like, become ungovernable. She says like, just like she grabs the glass of like water she's being given, and is like, just throw the glass, and she shatters it on the floor. Like, you can't do anything, just fucking rebel.
Yeah.
And there's like references to that in the music video.
Yeah, yeah.
Where 100%. She's like throwing the glass and stuff.
Yeah.
And I understand that to be like a moment of like an iconic moment of like Spanish feminist history or something, but like,
yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah. She is quite oldish,
yes,
the singer,
yeah.
And then
you will not say anything bad about her.
Nick loves her.
Oh, no, it's not bad. No, exactly. She's still hot.
Exactly. Anything, no, like, we defend our MILFs.
I love MILFs. Yeah. You can quote
this
me.
This is
on
a pro MILF podcast forever. My goodness.
But
she looks oldish. No, she's
in the
perfect
sense that, like, obviously she was alive when this thing happened.
Yes.
And she was aware.
The woman they have. Okay, so first of all, they legally have a girl representing Cyprus. She's 16 years old. So, like, this is the competition we currently have. Yikes. So, like, yeah.
And then what I love about the song is that there's, like, the music video. It's, like, old ladies that just, like, remind me of my grandma so much. And obviously these women, like, were adults during the dictatorship and everything. Yeah. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's so much deeper than
Well,
people
I guess
think as well.
I think the age they're kind of, like, going for specifically is they were alive very much for the end of it when, like, there was this sudden, like, because my understanding of, like, the 70s in Spain was just a lot of, like, when it came to things like Catalonia, the Basque, women's rights, whatever, it was just like there was just like a sudden reprieve. Like, it was gradual in some sense, but then if you're alive in the 70s, it's like, oh, suddenly we can talk about feminism, this thing that's been like a burgeoning movement in every other country bar ours.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of the dictatorship itself, when Franco was already really old, there were massive protests before he died,
okay,
of everything, of like Basque, like, yeah, country independence, Catalan independence.
Suddenly, we're like, we can take this old
rights,
man.
Like, everything. No, it was everything. It was just like, we are fucking fed up. Like, the people of my dad's generation, when my dad was like 20 when this guy died, when Franco died, they were like, we're fucking done. Like, fuck this. And then when Franco died, they weren't even sure that democracy was going to come back.
But the
people basically revolted in every city. Like, we want democracy, and then the king who was put there by Franco was like, "Well, I guess I'll give you democracy if you want it." Anyway, sorry, this has gone very different direction.
All right, so then Nick, what is another song we haven't mentioned so far that's on your?
Okay, another. We mentioned this earlier in the sense that we mentioned it off mic actually.
Mm.
Uma made a comment, which I agreed that we don't need to talk about that though. That the letter thing was stupid. The letter thing that all those artists wrote about, like, we're still gonna perform, but we know that what's going on is bad, but like music unites us. Yeah, whatever. Like,
I mean, I'm just waiting at this point. Like, I've given up all hope on that, like, on stuff happening from that end of things until the night of. Like, I'm hoping shit goes down. Like,
on stage,
yeah.
So
that'd be fun.
I gave Ireland a 10. If I could give Ireland an 11, I would give Ireland an 11.
Hell yeah!
Ireland had the only reason I say that it is second fave is because the fave that it is having to beat out is Greece.
Mm.
And I'm not gonna let, like, no matter how good Ireland is gonna be, the fact that Greece has such a good song,
it is a really good song.
And it's that it's been a while. It's like my two favorite. They're both kind of like represent like my two favorite things. Also, that then I like that. Then
it is actually it's the two moods of Nick.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, so I'm not going to talk about Greece because I know that then it'll come up one way or another because it's absolutely so great. So, but what I really liked about Ireland of that is that I think that I appreciated that it was someone doing just in a lot of cases just. Not just like, oh, it's a metal-ish song, but just like a metal song. You know, like it was genuinely heavy. She was like, you know, it didn't seem phoned in. I mean, maybe she is a complete industry plant. I don't know.
First non-binary entry to Eurovision.
Okay, that's very cool.
They are established in like London in like I don't think they're signed or anything. They're not an industry plant, but like they.
I wouldn't imagine Ireland be doing industry plants the way that your economy is.
They do.
But like not doing it in the sense of like I don't know. I don't see Ireland being like
do it successfully.
Yeah. No. You know what genre would be really great right now is if we made like a Irish. What if we made like Ghost Mane, but if she was a woman, but if it was a non-binary, like
Ghost Mane, yeah.
a non-binary Ghost Mane.
No, because like when Ireland does industry plants,
but doesn't rap.
Yeah, no, we do. Ireland industry plants is like just get Louis Walsh to do some bullshit again. The guy who made like Boyzone and Westlife and shit just come.
Yeah,
along.
No.
And Jedward went off the other day against Louis Walsh.
Yes, yeah. Okay, weird Irish inside baseball. So Jedward was put upon Louis Walsh. I do not consider Jedward a Louis Walsh act, even though he managed them. Okay. He was assigned them in X Factor because they were like X Factor contestants that did quite well. And like they gave hit, like he was a judge on X Factor. They gave Jedward to him.
Yeah.
Like not in a million years would Louis Walsh come up with Jedward. Like he would just come up with
too original.
Yeah, they are actually genuinely too original. He would just do Boyzone a million times over.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, enough of your Irish drama.
He's a monster. He needs to be stopped.
Yes, I get this. But back to the song then, because I mentioned the song for 2 seconds and then didn't go into like we ended up into like local drama of what's going on of Irish boy bands.
We'll fight Louis Walsh. It is on site.
So the thing that I really liked about Ireland is that then it really is one something completely different than everything else, and it really like it took the thing that then Eurovision's been trying to do lately of like let's get like heavier with it and just like went to the extreme of like what if like I put notes here that then one I would really think that it would be cool to say like what's their name again? Bambi Thug. Okay.
It's then, also like up there with Baby Lasagna. It is up there with possible Nick Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mentioned the sense that it would be very, like very cool to then see Bambi Thug, like, collect, like, I mean, their trajectory, I guess, seems that then could go very well in this, like, kind of like pop ish direction thing that, like, this heavier stuff is doing.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that then that, like, an artist currently was like, I'm going to go to Eurovision and do, like, you know, things like Bring Me the Horizon and, like, a bunch of, like, crazy, like, intense, like, rap stuff that's very, like, goth and horror themed right now is very big, but, like, online particularly. So let's, like, bring that then to us. Like, I don't know. I thought it was very good. And I also thought then the thing, too, at the end of it that was very interesting is that then it had, like, an actual breakdown. And I noted here that then, like, it sounded like a Gojira breakdown. So it was, like, a bit more. No, it had a bit more than just, like, dun-dun. Dun-dun, you know, I mean, it had like actually like weird, like, you know, guitar sounds in it and whatnot that weren't just like corny, like, you know, whatever dive bombs or whatever, but like whoever composed it knew, like, I don't know. It was just like, it was a fun little like, oh, this is composed not just being like, I've heard 3 rock songs, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, like this is genuinely the stuff that they make. And I think like the thing that I kind of thought of was like this is probably one of the more contemporary things, because this gets to one, I wouldn't call it hyperpop, but it gets to a quality that a lot of hyperpop stuff has, which is the sweet and sour of just like the and then it just goes, yes, the star of the moon. Like that sudden like shift in tone is like really common in hyperpop.
Yeah, of
stuff.
Course. It is like a relative of, like, I mean, it is Zoomer music, first off.
Yeah.
It is in the very, very TikTok online.
If Bambi Thug was to perform on the same billing as a bunch of hyperpop acts, it would make sense.
But then Bambi Thug could also, you know, appear alongside, it seems like, acts like Ghostmane. What did I have listed here as well, too, of like Cemetery, City Morgue, stuff like that.
Yeah, so the win that Ireland is trying to get this year is to get into the final.
Yeah, and I think that
do you think they will get into the final?
It depends.
I mean,
that's the thing too, is that then like Eurovision doesn't care how like out there and extreme you go, as long as you make the show really fun, and so, they're gonna probably do a very fun show.
I hope so. I think the thing that you're looking for whenever. Like, when you look at the semifinals, is, like, do you have two acts kind of doing the same thing, going up against each other? And with Bambi Thug, in the entire competition, there's not someone doing the same thing.
Exactly.
So, like, I think on, like, at the end of the, like, at the night, people will remember Bambi Thug, and they will make it through to the final because of that. So. Yeah. They won't win. But like, we're, as far as we're concerned, getting into the final is enough. Like,
oh, I mean, yeah,
yeah,
I would.
It's a show. It's an actual show, so it's.
But
fine.
Yeah, Bambi Thug for me is the closest number two that could possibly exist, because I would want to say number one, but Greece's is just too. It's. I mean, you took. I mean, Rosalia's just too fucking cool, and you just ripped it off perfectly, and you did it. You did it well, and I love it. And it's like, and it's so corny and Eurovision-y that it's like, why would I even be mad that Greece ripped off Rosalia? Like, I love Rosalia, and I'm Greek, so it's the best of both worlds.
Didn't rip off. It just reminds me, just like the soft voice,
and
suddenly like more beat, like kind of style. I don't know, and also the way she's dressed is very so Rosalia vibe, which is like modern. I don't know.
So there's a really
cool girly. You know,
there's a really interesting thing with I've forgotten her name. The song's called Zari.
Maria
something. Someone's check that for me there, because
Marina Sati.
Sati, okay. She is an alum of, is it Berklee, the major music school?
Yeah,
yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Probably.
We've got a couple of Berklees in Eurovision this year. It's her and it'll come to me later. There's someone else. But the thing that got her like thesis in music was like her kind of like doing interesting experimentation and syncopation with something she's brought to the song, of like taking these short snippets of her voice to like da da, and like making kind of music with that, with her voice. Like, that's in her like thesis piece. So she's like done that and brought it to like reggaeton with a bunch of Greek instrumentation with the music video.
Is so cool.
The music video that makes me so glad that we're boycotting this year and we just get to show the music videos.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, my major concern with that song is, like, how do you bring that fucking energy on stage?
Mm-hmm. She would... I think it would be fun, though. I really
I think it would be fun, but, like, nothing beats just, like, doing fucking Tokyo Drifts in your, like, Athens taxi with, like, the most deranged and confused-looking German tourist.
That is a fun touch. I saw the tourist, I'm like, I hope she's talking shit about them in the song. Like, I don't know what the song is about, but I hope.
It's a great music video.
And that's the thing too, as well, is that then I appreciate, again, back to the thing of doing the pop music, the pop song. We're talking about Greece now, we've all accepted that Greece is probably in all of our top fives, I would assume.
It's somewhere in there for me. I haven't figured out where yet, but yeah.
So, I mean, that's, yeah, I think that we can all just collectively give Greece a, I mean, Greece has my endorsement, of course. But that's the thing, is that then regardless of, yeah, you're right, regardless of how much at the end of the day, if it is or it isn't a ripoff of something like that, I don't, again,
it's
Eurovision,
not
it's not,
I just said
no, but I'm just saying,
it's just
in the
genre, it's
again,
success.
But the thing I'm saying is that regardless of it is, you missed the first part of the thing I said, is that... It does all the things that I think a Eurovision song is supposed to do. You know, also, first off, there are more blatant ripoffs of songs at Eurovision, you know, first off, how many Dua Lipa lookalikes do we have?
I believe
most of the girlies.
The correct plural is Dua's Lipa.
Yeah. Dua Lipi.
Dua Lipe, yeah. All right, so Uma, do you have any other notable entries?
The Italian one, actually, La Noia. Just also because when I first saw the playlist, I did a double take because it means the same. Like, it means the girl. And it's written exactly the same. And it means the same in Catalan.
Okay.
So I was like, huh?
Yeah.
when did Catalonia get into Eurovision?
Andorra used to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
They took apart a couple of times.
Europe, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think they sang in Catalan, though.
Do they ever sing a Catalan song? That's a good
It's
question.
Their official language.
I know, yeah. But like, La Noia, yeah. That is another one of the major four that could possibly win.
Yeah, I liked it as well. Same vibes as Greece, like fun, own language, cool girly. I like it.
It's a girly bop, but it hasn't done... this is the what I'm going to start calling the Chanel curse. Which is Chanel comes along with Slow Mo in 2022 for Spain, getting like third place, like the best Spain has done in like
100 years.
Fucking 25 years, something stupid like that. And the thing that like it kind of dictated to every other like girly bop that happens in like Eurovision that there has to be a dance breakdown.
Yeah.
And the problem is, because we have that with Cyprus, we have that with Malta.
Oh my god, yeah.
There's so many like girly bops that demand a dance breakdown, and the problem with that is like when the dance breakdown is happening, the song sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's just like the rhythm.
Yeah.
And if you can't bring the dance, it's just like, well, you just made a part of your song.
But that's the thing is that every time that there was a dance breakdown, I put that I very much enjoyed it because it's very predictable and very funny, and I always like watching it because it's just like ever since it's become established as a Eurovision thing, it is just like a thing that you will automatically get way more extra points if you do it because it just is. Like it's so silly, and I love the ones that make no sense. We can quickly go through some of them that I really appreciate of the girly pop ones because I gave them really high scores, but not because that they would be like really high up on my list, but just because they just are silly.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So one of them was Cyprus, mentioned, of course, which you mentioned it was a 16-year-old.
She's 16, and she's talking about a song. The lyrics are about like a guy who lies too much.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
You're not allowed to date yet.
All right. So
you haven't seen shit.
Like
it's so much worse.
I wrote then stupid song unnecessarily. Like for the thing too about them is that they have the most unnecessarily good production, like music wise.
Yeah.
It is like it is like the it is completely unnecessary for a song that's going to get like 20th in Eurovision. You know?
So like Cyprus, the reason Cyprus is like that is because I think they're the only country that has this arrangement where it's not like they don't defer to a national broadcaster or whatever to pick the song.
They defer to the guy who owns
it's a label.
War of Tanks.
No, they give it to a label. There's just a label who decides.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And then, but the thing of the Cyprus song that got me I had to rank. I gave it an 8. All right.
Okay.
Was because wake up in the morning, feel like ooh la la was too fucking much.
Was that one of the lines?
That's one of the lyrics. Yes. And I just sat there.
And the whole music video is in just like one hotel. That's like,
yeah, exactly. So the fact of the matter that you have me sitting there watching a pop song and I'm fucking laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
You get a lot of extra points.
My favorite thing about the music video is it's clearly in a hotel, but like the reason they got permission to film is it's so very obviously off season. So they're all in like swimsuits and like short jackets, but they all look so cold.
There was also then another one.
What's the other rundown of girly bop?
There was another girly bop one.
Malta is another girly bop one.
Malta is another girly bop one. Yeah, there was another. Georgia.
Firefighter.
Yeah, firefighter. The lyrics were they like just can rise like a phoenix firefighter or whatever, rise from the ashes firefighter. She kept switching the lyrics from phoenix to firefighter, which I loved.
Yeah.
I love when then a song goes into English, but then just does, and it's not like then she probably can't speak English, but it's just like we're just not gonna fucking try.
No, well, like Armenia last year just took a bunch of quotes from Tumblr.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also got some of them wrong.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the those t-shirts in Japan that have like English words on them, and they think that, you know, because it looks aesthetic, but it just says like water and dogs
or something like
I mean, I feel that we do that with Japanese.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
No, I 100%.
It's a rich culture.
But I mentioned like the English version, you know, with these songs.
Yeah, we're like we're all wearing t-shirts in whatever language that basically just says Mr. Too Damn Mister.
So, yeah, those were the two big girly ones that I noticed that were so like bad that I had to acknowledge, but they were so bad that I gave them very high rankings because it's like, yeah, you didn't try. Yeah, I love it. It's such it's perfect.
So the reason I bring that up is because like La Noia by Italy is the only female like pop song that doesn't have the dance break.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like.
What do you do during that part then?
She just stands there. No, they do it really well. Like the song, like the
you mean every song doesn't have one of these in it?
Cypress Furious. Cypress sells mad at Italy Chads. Yeah, so like, yeah, I really like this is one of the potential because I can see Italy doing well with both viewers and jury. Unlike Netherlands and Croatia, which is going to be like overwhelmingly viewers and not jury. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm do you have any like ones that really like you that itching to talk about? I feel that the overwhelming majority, I don't know if it's just because I'm watching the music videos and it's because on the night it's a bit more, ooh, you got the rush.
Mm-hmm.
Like overwhelmingly mid. This is also because this is before the finals too, so this list will be smaller.
Yeah, this will be pared down.
Yeah, so I think that's the thing too, is that then I never really watched this part of it as like much as you do.
No, I'm making you because the format that we have,
the format's different this year. Yeah, exactly.
The vibe that I have is that I either really like the song or I really dislike. Like, well, not really dislike. Yeah. I really don't care.
Yeah.
Like, we watched this recap before we started.
The Megamix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Megamix before we started recording. And it was just like, oh, I love this song. Oh, boring. Oh, I love this song. Oh, boring.
Yeah.
Boring. Yeah. Oh, I love it. It was like, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just bored of the pop songs.
Like, yeah,
I'm
just really exactly.
Bored. I just like, show me something different. Show me something in your language with your culture in it.
Yeah, so like,
that's it.
The thing that then is the most unfortunate too is like, I think the attempt that really just for me fell the flattest on its face is Australia's.
Yeah,
it's really so.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate because like, so what's? I don't understand exactly what happened, but like. Halfway through Australia's very short tenure this year, or like in Eurovision, which is like, what, this is their seventh year now. They had this like show called Australia Decides where they would pick, and then they stopped doing that, I think, during the pandemic.
Hmm.
And ever since then, they've been getting like, they've just been calling back like fan favorites from past years.
Okay.
To come back and make a new song.
Yeah.
So like that's where
So they're fan like
they were fan favorites from a previous year.
Oh, okay.
With a different song, obviously.
Yeah. I like points for like having a native language in it, especially with the history of Australia, that's super important.
Oh, it's particularly bad because like I forgot the name of the language and it's very hard to say, but like the person in the band who speaks it is like one of like 70 people who can speak
it.
Oh
my god, that's fucked.
Yeah.
Loads of points for that. That's really cool. But the song itself is just so meh.
It's, I think I described it in episode 2 as like, this is the song where I would stumble upon in a festival. Like, this is someone I would not intentionally see at a festival, but I just kind of like walk in and I'm like, I can chill out here for a bit or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like, I can sit down and like come down from whatever cocktail of nonsense I'm on. Yeah, like it's
the snuff or whatever it is called.
Fucking
the but, Swedish.
Yeah, I'm gonna OD on snooze.
Snooze, yeah. Snuff, sure.
But the thing about it though is like it's really, really not helped by like they had no budget music video that they had to make. Yeah,
it's also a very weird vibe. They're like naked. I mean, well. You can't see anything, but it's implied.
They're clear. Yeah, yeah.
It's a weird... Like, I'm curious. Obviously, we're not going to watch it, but maybe after, without giving money, I'm curious if they make it to the final, like...
What the staging would be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do with that?
I'm really, unfortunately, thinking that the staging for that is just going to be them, like, walking down stage going, like...
Like 90s. That's the vibe they got, 90s, like...
It's very 90s. Like, it's very,
pop, like, slow pop, so I don't know. Yeah.
Shit, bands like that from the 90s would have been things like Lighthouse or, like, Counting Crows or whatever. Maybe Counting Crows, or I'm thinking of like... Oh shit, like it's this very feel good almost world music inspired kind of stuff, like Lifted and the Shadows. It's all very feel good,
like what my mom would listen to on the way to work.
So it's kind of sad, but then like I did my analysis of that semi-final. I'm like, if this beats some of the other songs, I wouldn't be upset. Like,
oh no, 100%.
I think it's like between them and like to like just qualify. It's like between Australia and Poland, and Poland is such like a nothing song that I'm just like, I would like the like the song, one, yeah. The one that has like the rare indigenous language in it to be in it Poland.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Actually, I have a question for you because you care about the language thing. Because like I'm kind of agnostic about it because like I understand the do it like you kind of have to do some English or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, who do you think, like if you could give a region of Europe, who do you think is guiltiest of doing English the most? Obviously, excluding Ireland and the UK.
Yeah, the ones that I guess Malta is
also. Yeah.
I think.
Putting down the vibes, who do you think does it more?
I think the Balkans, no?
Really? Okay, yeah, that's interesting. So the one that actually does it the most is the Nordics.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to say, was going to be Northern European.
Sweden, because like Sweden is the powerhouse of writing all like pop music. Everything they submit is in English.
Yeah, true.
Norway this year's song is in like Norwegian. It's the first time they've done it in like 18 years.
Jeez, okay.
Yeah, I don't know, sorry, within the last 18 years they've done it twice, including this one.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Finland is the one that does it the most in like their language. And then the rest of them like are always in English.
Interesting.
Iceland's really weird.
Also Germany, no?
Germany loves doing English, yes.
Yeah, recently, but like Germany doesn't know what it's doing at the moment.
Germany doesn't need to either because... They just have
like a TikTok.
Yeah.
That's the thing too, that's very unfortunate with Germany this year, is that the kid that they got to sing is incredibly talented.
Yeah.
It's very clear. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is that then, but just like putting it's also so unfortunate too, because Germany has no idea what the fuck they're doing. Is that then maybe an act like him being a little bit more like rockig could have actually worked, because he has a phenomenal voice for doing like rock music, and even something a bit like, it doesn't have to be like, you don't have to send like Rammstein or whatever you sent, or like Lord of the Lost, whatever it was last year. You can do something like different, and even in the sense of like, even if this guy wasn't the Eurovision thing, it's so unfortunate that then that Germany just doesn't know what to do with like talent that it has. It's like, oh, we have to like force this like TikTok kid who, you know, clearly has some pipes on him to then just like do over a shitty dance beat with like these like nonsensical lyrics.
I mean, I don't think it's a I think like what Germany has done this year is we've done Picture Wyverns, we've done Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, exactly. It's just this like, it's just this like, with the fucking elephant sound in the background. The
fucking elephant
sound. It's so bad.
I really want someone who has a better like producer ear than I do. I used to have a really good one. I used to like, watch Eurovision when I lived in a giant mansion with like a bunch of other musicians and producers, including Melty Brains, the people who wrote the theme song for, they didn't write as a theme song for Cornish Beatty. It's their song New Dawn that we just use as a theme song. But anyway, great bunch of lads. But like I watched the Eurovision with them before, like, and with the people I used to live with, and they were much better at like picking out these things. People who have that producer ear. We're a Berlin-based podcast. We must know someone. Must have one listener. I really want to know, is that genuinely an elephant noise? Or is it like a trumpet sound or like some sort of brass sound that has been mixed so fucking weirdly that it ended up sounding like an elephant noise when it wasn't meant
it's
to?
It's Germany. They probably just put an elephant sound in.
They went to Berlin. So
it sounds like... It sounds Mergy like...
elephant!
Yeah, it sounds like an elephant. I mean, to
it really does.
It really, like... It's, and also just like... Germany's entry is so corny that of course they would do that.
It is. It's very... Imagine Dragons is the word. Yeah. It really, it's just... It's bad. It's going to come last. Yeah. So, do we have any other last mentions?
I'm excited for.
I'll do the list for the Eurovision.
Oh yeah, of course. We have to do our top tens.
Because you're going to be jurors. Each of you. We're gonna turn to the camera tonight, and we're gonna require your like douce point or whatever.
And I will refuse to give my points to the country.
To Armenia.
Yeah, to Armenia.
12 points to... And then like Greece. the dramatic like...
Oh yeah, we're doing that. We're 100% doing that.
Greece! Or like whatever.
Yeah, so excellent. I'm looking forward to it. More information incoming. I figured out what I'm going to do at the beginning of the show, which is I'm going to catch you up on a bunch of like bullshit trivia that has come out about Eurovision this year. Very excited for it. With that, we should mention that Only Mr. God Knows is a large content marketing scheme to get you to come to our live show. please come on the 11th of May to Eurovision 2024. Do not watch the Eurovision. TM, TM, TM. Do not watch it. Do not tell anyone from Universal Music Group that we're doing this. where we will be watching the music videos and you as an audience member in Berlin will be a juror. There is, I think... about 10 tickets left, and then we'll also be on twitch.tv/CornishBeatty, where you can watch, and the people on Twitch will be a televote, and that's how we're going to make it work this year. And then I will pay attention to Eurovision Twitter to see who the fuck has stormed the stage, punched Aidan Golan in the face, or whatever the fuck's going to happen at this. Yeah, so come on down, and with that I will see you. Well, only Mr. God knows when.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sorry.